Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Pei Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the bottom of the Omid. At the end of our previous shiur, we indicated that we were leaving off in the middle of a discussion. In order to appreciate today's shiur, of course, it's necessary to be fully familiar with our shiur of Daf Pei Aleph. But just to briefly recap the last point we mentioned, we had seen on Daf Pei Aleph, Omen Aleph, a machlokus between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the powers that an androgynous kohen has regarding his enabling of his spouse to partake of kohen-related food items. Rabbi Yochanan went so far as saying that a Kohen androgynous that marries a woman, he entitles her to eat not only Truma, but even Chazeh V'Shok. Chazeh V'Shok are portions that a Kohen receives from sacrifices that his family members are entitled to eat, partake of as well. If that is so, and Chazeh V'Shok are, as we say, portions of sacrificial offerings that a Kohen receives, you're dealing with things that are on a Torah level. Sacrifices are not rabbinic, they are Torah ordained. So if that be the case, Truma as well is something that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, can be eaten by the spouse of a androgynous Kohen, even if the Truma is Truma Doraisa. So in the course of our previous shiur, we saw Reish Lakish holding that Truma that was spoken about in the Mishnah is Truma Bizman Hazeh, which is only rabbinic, leaving us to conclude that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish, holding that Truma Bizman Hazeh is Deoraisa. The Gemara asks, regarding the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, V'sava Rabbi Yochanan, Truma Bizman Hazeh Doraisa, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that way? And when we take a look, of course, at the side, we see that this is a long question. Under the no say, the topic heading, we've written Truma Bizman Hazeh, Mahi Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. What is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion regarding Truma nowadays? So we're starting here a long question. How is it that we can present Rabbi Yochanan in contrast to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan holding that Truma nowadays, in fact, is something that is tithed from a Torah level, that the Torah requires Truma tithing nowadays. We speak about nowadays. This is in contrast to the previous era when there was a Beis Hamikdash. That is as far as in the words of the Gemara, that when there was a Beis Hamikdash, so the tithes were practiced on a Torah level. Nowadays, when the Jewish people have been dispersed into the exile, the diaspora, so tithes in the land of Israel would only be rabbinic. But Rabbi Yochanan apparently holds otherwise. But is that really so? V'ha Tanya, we have a Tanaic source in which features shtei kupos, two boxes, achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma. One box contains common food, and the other box contains tithed food. Truma, tithed food. Ulifnehem, and in front of these two boxes, you have two piles. Shtei soyin. A soy is a measure, but it's measures of two, let's say, piles. Achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma. One pile has chulin in it, and one pile has truma in it. V'noflu elu besoch elu. And the piles fell into the boxes. The problem is we don't know which pile fell into which box. Hare Elu Mutorin. These boxes can be given to a non-Kohen. The Chulin box, let us say that, the Chulin box can be given to a non-Kohen. She'ani oimer, because I will say, truma l'soich truma nafla, the truma sa'ah, the pile of truma that was outside fell into the truma box, the chulin besoch chulin naflu, and the chulin pile that was outside the box, the fell into the chulin box. The Omar Reish Lakish. You see that, by the way, that we've dashed the line Shani Omer because we decide. We have the right to establish it, to say that that's what happened. Well, that seems fairly arbitrary, that we decided that that's what happened. How can we do that? The Omar Reish Lakish Behu Sheravu Chulin Al Hatruma. The approach taken by Reish Lakish is the reason we're able to do that is because in the worst case scenario, what might have happened? The Truma pile fell into the Chulin box. Even if that happened, there is still a majority. The amount that's in the Chulin box, if given those circumstances, that the majority, that the there was a greater amount in the boxes than were in the piles. So in the worst case scenario, the Truma was neutralized by the majority of Chulin. So when you look at that Chulin box, both possibilities lead to Heter. If the Chulin pile outside the box fell into the Chulin box, great. And even if the Truma pile fell into the Chulin box, but the Chulin box contents were greater in amount than the pile of Truma that would have fallen into it. So because those are the only two possibilities that exist, I have a right to rely on She'ani Omer and on my claim, my desired assumption that the Chulin fell into the Chulin. Rabbi Yochanan says, Afal pi shelo ravu Chulin al hatruma. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if the amount in the Chulin wasn't greater in quantity than the Truma, I'm still going to rely on what on She'ani Omer, that I can ascribe to the situation that which I desire. So Bishlamo l'Reish Lakish Kosovar, as far as Reish Lakish's approach to this, it's logical, it makes sense. Kosovar, he holds Bidarabonan, when you're dealing with something that's Darabonan, like Reish Lakish said originally, that Truma Bezman is a Darabonan, Nami Ribui Hu Deboinon. You still need to have a majority of Heter, of that which is allowed, before you can cancel a problem, even if it's a rabbinic level prohibition. Elal Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, since when are we toila? Toila is the idea of assuming a heter. Since when are we going to assume a heter lekula in an isur de oraisa? In other words, for Rabbi Yochanan to make any sense, you'd have to assume that Truma is Terabonan, because if you're going to assume, as we have been till now, that Rabbi Yochanan holds Truma Bezman Hazeh is Doraisa, how in the world can this source make any sense? Since when is there a mechanism of She'ani Oimer in order to void an Isur de Oraisa, when you don't have a majority of Heter against it? The Gemara answers, Ha money, this source with the boxes, Rabbonon he. This is in accordance with a Tanaic authority, namely the Rabbonon, that hold Truma Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbonon. The Amri, and I, Rabbi Yochanan, who have been reflecting the idea that Truma Bezman Hazeh is Doraisa, the Amri, I say, Kereb Yoisi. And our Mishnah that spoke about the androgynous Kayin enabling his spouse to eat from Kohen foods, and I explained on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph that Kohen food goes so far as Chazav Ashok, and certainly Truma De'oraisa, even nowadays, that's in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. So that don't attack me by the way I explained the two boxes source. That was a source according to a different Tanaic authority than the Tanaic authority I was representing when I made my comment on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph concerning the androgynous Kayin enabling his spouse to eat even from Chazav Ashok. Now, where do we see Rabbi Yossi saying this? Desanya b'seder olam. There's a work, a Tanaic work called Seder Olam, and in that Tanaic work it says, it quotes a pasuk, "Asher yorshu avoisecha v'rishta, yerusha rishono shmiel yesh lahen u'shlishis ein lahen." The pasuk in this context has to do with the conquest of the land of Israel by the Jewish people. There was an original context which called Yerusha Rishon in the times of Joshua, after the travels in the desert, the initial entrance of the Jewish people in times of Yoshua. The Jewish people conquered the land and took it over, and that imparted to the land sanctity, and that sanctity entails the different tithes that we are familiar with. And there was an exile that followed at the time of the Babylonian destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, followed by a second entrance of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, which we know in the time of Ezra. That was the Yerusha Shnia, and that reinstituted the sanctity to the land of Israel, which entails and incorporates or necessitates the respective tithing. So that's the double expression in the pasuk, Asher Yorshu Avosecha V'Rishta, indicating there were two conquests or occupations of the land by the Jewish people, giving it sanctity. However, there is no need, Shlishis Ein Lahem means there is no need for a third conquest of land. Namely, the second conquest of the land at the time of Ezra, that instituted sanctity that lasts till this very day. That is, with the Roman destruction at the hands of Titus, which resulted in the destruction of the second base of Mish, that nevertheless did not cancel the sanctity of the land, leaving the conclusion that Truma Bezman Hazeh, according to this Tana of Seder Olam, is Doraisa. The Yomer of Yochanan, Man Tana Seder Olam, and Rabbi Yochanan is noted as saying, who is the author behind this work known as Seder Olam? Rebbe Yossi. Now, we made mention just a few minutes ago in Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of the source concerning the boxes that when you have an Isur Durabonon, you don't need a majority of Heter in order to cancel it. The mere fact that the Isur is in a mixed state is enough to neutralize it. Let us assume that the Isur is not the majority either, but it's a 50-50 situation. The Gemara now is going to ask on that point. And you notice there's a long question where the Gemara asks, V'sava Rab Yochanan b'derabonon lo bo'inon ribuya. Is that really so? Now the questioner over here is assuming that Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of the boxes with the Shtei Kupos that we had on Amud Aleph, is that Rabbi Yochanan is not relying on the She'ani Omer aspect But rather, even if the truma fell into the chulin, and the chulin is not the rove, is not the majority, there would still be bittul because of the very essence of it being in a tarovis. So now, if you're going to work with that assumption, it would indicate to you that Reb Yochanan says that when you have an Issur d'Rabbanan, you don't need to have a majority of heter in order to neutralize that which is prohibited rabbinically. So we ask, is that really so? V'hotnan, we have the following Tanaic source. Now this source deals with the realm of mikvois. A mikveh, a ritual bath in which people immerse themselves in order to achieve purity, requires a minimum amount of water in it, 40 sa'ah. That's a measure, 40 sa'ah, it's 3 cubic amos of water. So the source says, V'hotnan mikveh sheyesh bo arboim sa'ah mechuvonos. A mikveh that has an exact minimum amount of water, 40 sa'ah. Nosan sa'ah v'notal sa'ah kosher. Imagine a person takes an additional saw of fruit juice. Fruit juice, squeeze some orange juice. May peros, if you have a pool of may peros, it's probably obvious to all that you cannot immerse yourself in a pool of 40 saw of may peros and expect to become purified. So what happened over here? He poured a saw, an additional saw of may peros into the pool of 40 saw of water. So now you have a pool of made of 41 saw of liquid. So, and then after that, he withdrew. V'notal saw. He then withdrew a saw. Kosher. The mikveh is kosher. The Omar Rav Yehuda Bar Shilo, Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan, ad rubo. You can do this until the point of majority. No, my lav, what do you mean up till the point of majority? Dinish tayer rubo. In other words, you could do this 19 times. What would that result in? I know that there is a rove, a majority of water that remains. So that each time you were pouring in a saw of fruit juice and withdrawing a saw of liquid from the mikveh. And again, repeating that again and again. If you do that 19 times, you know that there remains 21 saw of water. This particular mikveh, if you had that, you're dealing with a rabbinic problem. Now, what's the rabbinic problem over here? So for this, we'll take a look in Rashi. But before we get to that level of detail, just let us realize that you're dealing with, even if we are dealing with a rabbinic problem, but Rabbi Yochanan himself, you can see we've emphasized his name, he is concerned that you have a majority of kosher water. Now, we look at Rashi. Nosan saw v'notal sa'o kosher. Gabi shar mashkim u'mei peros v'temet shehichmitz. Regarding other types of liquids, fruit juices, and temed shehichmitz, koi maseches mikvos. Temed happens to be grape lees to which water was added and then fermented, became a wine-type beverage. And this is in maseches mikvos v'ashmino di'afagav d'choze v'notal. Even though he then withdrew, he put in a saw, and then withdrew. V'ikol ameimar ha chaser le mikveh. You could claim that the mikveh is now lacking. Shahaso hazos ein mashlimoso shein rule mikveh. The saw that you poured in isn't something that's fit to make a mikveh of that. Afilo achi kosher. Nevertheless, we say the mikveh is kosher. The mechiyavu legabe botele. When you put these fruit juices into your full mikveh, the initial one saw is put into a mikveh of 40 saw. So that when you put that initial saw in, it was botel. It was neutralized. Vavalu arboim v'chad kulanruyin. And when you put that initial first saw in, you created 41 saw, but through the power of bittul, we say the whole 41 saw of liquid is kosher. The chishok al chad saw poshur abayim, and then when you withdrew the one saw afterwards, you were left with 40. Avol ibcholo, but to do the opposite, to first withdraw a saw and then pour a saw of fruit juice in, that would not be acceptable. And that's because you'd be pouring, you would have poured the saw of fruit juice into an incomplete mikvah. And you don't say that fruit juice is used to complete the mikvah to 40 saw. Now, the next Rashi, my lav, the nishtaya rubo, ad yutes saw yocholasos kain. Up till 19 saw, you can do this. Avol tfei lo, but more than that, no. Deboinon denevi rubo megisham, because we want you to know that you have a majority of rain water. We didn't explain this earlier, but the proper mikveh is a mikveh where within a pool there accumulates rain water, not water that you drew with buckets and poured into the pool. That's called mayim sheuvim. But you want to have your proper mikveh is a pool of rain water. Alma, what do we see from this whole description? Afagav de psul sheiva de rabbanon, even though the problem of drawn water, in this case it's drawn liquids, is a rabbinic problem. Baya ruba bakashrus, we want to make sure that you have the majority is kosher, so that you're dealing, as we said before, with an issue of drawn liquid. We're viewing the fruit juice as if it's drawn water, because we're saying that the mikveh is still kosher, so that the fruit juice that was poured into the original complete mikveh is essentially no worse than drawn water. But the problem of drawn water is a rabbinic level problem. And you see, once again, as we said already a couple of times, you see that even though you're dealing with a rabbinic level problem, we still want you to have the majority kosher. The Gemara says, no, loy, that is not the case. That when Rabbi Yochanan said ad rubo, that you can do this fruit juice water exchange only 19 times. That's not the explanation. Rather, deloy nishkoil rubo. We don't want you to do this 21 times. But if you did it 20 times, that would be okay also. Because when you're dealing with an Isur de Rabbanon, you don't have to have Rov, like he said on Omid Aleph. The Boyesema, another approach says that even in Isurei de Rabbanon, we do expect you to have the majority, in a mixture form, the majority of permissible substance. Shiny Hocha, but in the case of the two boxes, with the two piles in front of the boxes, this is a different situation. Why here is Rabbi Yochanan willing to compromise on his rov requirement? So he says here it's different. The Iko Lameimar Sheani Omer, because you have another factor here. You have the Sheani Omer, that I can say that the original truma fell into the truma box. You have that, we'll say, that additional option available. Not so in the case of the mikveh, because in the case of, you know exactly what took place, you know you're in total control. So in a case like that, you don't have that additional option, then even Rabbi Yochanan requires in a rabbinic situation that you need to have a majority of heter. Before going further in the sugya, let us glance at the side where we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll notice a new geometric form comes into play, a trapezoid or volcano shape. We call this in this particular sugya, it will appear in alternating directions, we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth give and take nature of the Gemara. With the narrow part facing upwards, we're going to say Makshe al Reish Lakish. We're going to be raising a question on Reish Lakish. The Omar Liel on Pei Aleph Omad Aleph, way back there on Pei Aleph Omad Aleph, the androgynous Eino Machil Bechoze Veshoik. That an androgynous Kohen does not entitle his wife to partake of the Choze Veshoik portions of sacrifices the Kohen receives. Since he is an androgynous, so that right is denied to his spouse. Alma, we see from here, Eino Zohar Ma'alya, that he is not considered a full-fledged man or male. If he were so, then a man who marries a woman and the man's a Kohen, he entitles his wife to eat of the sacrificial portions that he receives. If you see that that is not happening, it must be that he's not viewed in the eyes of Halacha as a regular male. The inverted shape are tshuvos, letovas Reish Lakish. These are responses that are for the benefit of Reish Lakish's opinion. Bahemshech simun zeh mishamesh kekushyo al Reb Yochanan. This marking, this inverted trapezoid will end up in the course of the Gemara being a question on Reb Yochanan, Shesover d'androgynous Zohar Ma'alya, that is of the opinion, Reb Yochanan of the opinion that androgynous, we saw Reb Yochanan pay Aleph Amad Aleph saying that androgynous Kohen marries a woman, she is now entitled to eat from Chazav Ashok, indicating that he is a regular man. Losim Lev, pay attention, Besof Hamasu Matan Reb Yochanan mitaretz es emdoso. By the end of this discussion, you'll see a trapezoid with the narrow part facing up, which represents a confirmation of Reb Yochanan's position. So now we turn to the Gemara Tanan. Androgynous noisei. In the Mishnah, it was taught that an androgynous marries, able to marry a woman, indicating that he's a full-fledged male, bringing into question Reish Lakish, who said on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph that he does not enable his wife to eat from Chazav Ashok, indicating that he is merely a Safek Ish. So the Gemara answers to benefit, to help Reish Lakish, Tani Im Nasa, that the Mishnah is not speaking about that an androgynous marries as a first choice. It means if he married. Question, v'ha no say, Kotani, but the language of the mission indicates that he, as a first choice, can go and offer marriage to a woman, indicating that he is a man. Ule tamech. So Reish Lakish responds, according to you, that you're claiming he's a full-fledged male, my avol lo nisa. Well, how do you explain that language? Nisa means to be married as a woman. The language of a lo nisa indicates something of a non-first choice nature, of a b'di'eved nature. As Rashi's explanation, he says five lines from bottom, my avol lo nisa de mashma dieved. It's mashma that it's a dieved. The Mishnah is speaking on a dieved level, on a non first choice level. Elo my nisa dieved no se nami dieved. So Reish Lakish explains that just like the avol lo nisa form of speech indicates something post facto, so too, the no say expression that appears does not indicate a first choice that he is initially allowed to marry, but if he married. The Gemara questions. Amri, lo. No say, lechadchilo mashma. No say does mean as a first choice, he, the androgynous, can go and initiate marriage with a woman, taking a woman as a wife. Avolo nisa, when the Mishnah uses that expression, it means dieved nami lo, that if he were offered marriage by a healthy man, there would be the healthy man offering marriage to the androgynous, there wouldn't be any marriage consummation whatsoever, not even post facto. So that at this point, then we still have a question on Reish Lakish. The question being that no say lechatchila indicates So we have a mission that's like, it's meduyuk like Rabbi Yochanan. No say lechatchila means that he is a regular man and is able to marry a woman. The Gemara now asks on Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi points that out, that at this point the Gemara switches to asking on Rabbi Yochanan, so that we're going to keep our volcano marking system here. The inverted marking we indicated before was to defend Reish Lakish, and in effect by asking on Rabbi Yochanan, so we're also in some way strengthening Reish Lakish. But here the focus is a question on Rabbi Yochanan. V'ha midikatani seifa Rabbi Eliezer Omer androgynous chayovin olav skila kezachar. Rabbi Lezer points out that the androgynous, if a man were to have relations with the androgynous, it's like mishkav zohar, it's homosexual relations, which is punishable by stoning. Michlal, the Tanakama, Svuki Misafkale. That would indicate that the Tanakama, the first opinion, the previous opinion in the Mishnah, is actually in doubt. And that would be a kashan Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was holding that androgynous is a definite male. You see that the Tanakhama doesn't seem to hold like that. So Rabbi Yochanan will answer, Bain Lamar Mifshat Pshitalei, whether you're the Tanakhama, the first opinion in the Mishnah, or you're Rebbe Lazar, it's obvious that the androgynous is a full-fledged male. So you'll ask them, what's the difference between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Eliezer? Iko Binayu, Skilo Mishnei Mekomos. The point of difference would be where a male has intimacy with the androgynous. The androgynous, let us just remind you that he is someone that has the features, the gender features, not only of a man but of a woman as well. So he has, we'll say, an orifice that is unique to a woman in addition to his male characteristics. So the point of difference would be if a regular man enters the androgynous in the two orifices that would be possible. There's the, in a standard homosexual, two regular men situation, so then there's the obvious only orifice available. And then, in the androgynous situation, in addition to that orifice, there's also the female orifice that exists. The more sovar chayovin olav skilo mishnei mekoymos. That the Tanakhama is of the opinion that a man that enters the androgynous with entering either one of the orifices will result in a skila punishment. Umor sovar Rabbi Lezer holds kezochar. No, only if the relations that the man has with the androgynous is the same that he would have had with another man, and not in the female orifice that he happens to possess. Now, as we continue in the Gemara, a triangle marking appears. You can see at the on the side of the Gemara, there are no say mivne heading. Triangles will appear in two directions. They highlight machlokes Rav Ushmuel in lismoich al hamishne oy habraisa legabi shitas Rabbi Yosi im androgynous sofek ovadai zohar. We're going to have two Tanaic sources. One is our Mishnah, in which Rabbi Yosi's opinion was presented, and in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi was of the opinion that the androgynous is a regular male, and we're going to have a braisa in which we see Rabbi Yossi saying that it's called a bria b'fnei atzma. It's not clear to the chachamim whether it's a male or a female. So Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah represents certainty, you know, it's a definite male, versus Rabbi Yossi in the braisa, where the androgynous represents a case of doubt. And we should point out that Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah appeared together with Rabbi Shimon, where they said androgynous kohen shenosa basra machila betruma. The androgynous kohen, a man that marries a bas Yisrael, he enables her to eat from truma. So Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, and we emphasize, you'll see later in the Gemara why this is significant, Rabbi Yossi appeared together with Rabbi Shimon, taking the position that he is a definite male. Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa that we'll shortly see indicates that the androgynous is a doubt. What? How to classify him? Omar Rav, Lesa Limasnisin Mekami Braisa. The Mishnah is pushed aside. Lesa means is not, doesn't exist. It means it's to be rejected in favor of the Braisa. Desanyo, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, androgynous brio b'fnei atzmohu. The androgynous is viewed as a separate type entity. The Chachomim have not decided whether he is a male or a female. What type of halachas apply to him? Those of a male or of a female? Rashi on the second line from the top, Mekami Braisa, Katoni the Rabbi Yossi, Sveika, who according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a matter of doubt. So at this point, then Rav is saying we favor the Braisa over the Mishnah. That in and of itself is kind of odd. So the Gemara says, Adarabba, Lesa Lebraisa Mekami Misnisen. Let us reject the Braisa in favor of the Mishnah. The Gemara answers, Midashavke Rabbi Yossi Lebar Zuge. Since in the Braisa we see Rabbi Yossi left his partner was Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon had been together with him in the Mishnah, and here you have Rabbi Yossi presented on his own. Shma Mino, this is proof, Hodar Bey, that Rabbi Yossi had a change of mind. There's a Rashi adds another dimension, an additional dimension of explanation. Rashi that you see on the third line from the top, where Rashi speaks about Rabbi Yossi leaving Rabbi Shimon ben Zuge, the Airi Bahadei b'Masnisin. Rabbi Shimon had spoken together with Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. Va'airi b'Braisa l'Chudei, and Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa speaks on his own. Shmamino Hodar Bey. It's an indication that Rabbi Yossi had a change of opinion. V'lav Tanoi Hi. We don't have in front of us two Tanaic sources that we would say represent a machlokes tanoim as to what they said. The tema that would, if it was a tanoi, I would then say the tema sami tano de braisa makami tano de masnisen, that let me erase or reject the tana of the braisa in favor of the Mishnah. Di tanoi, if it were a machlokes tanoim, Travayu havu toni luhu nami b'braisa. The two would have appeared together in the braisa. Umapich l'de Rebbe Shimon kida apcho l'de Rebbe Yossi. And Reb Shimon would have appeared also with this changed approach, along like we presented Reb Yossi with the changed approach. But since you don't have them together in the braisa as they had been together in the Mishnah, this indicates that Reb Yossi himself had a change of mind, and therefore the Braisa, in Rav's opinion, is more reliable. It represents Rabbi Yossi's later thinking. The Gemara continues, Shmuel Amar, Lesa LeBraisa, Mekami Masnisen. We reject the Braisa in favor of the Mishnah. Adarabba, Lesa LeMasnisen, Mekami Braisa. Since we're dealing right now with Shmuel, it would seem more likely that we would reject the Mishnah in favor of the Braisa, Dosh Amino Leila Shmuel, because we know Shmuel to hold the Chayish Lichida. He takes into consideration singular opinions. And in the Braisa, we see Rabbi Yossi appearing on his own, by himself. So the Gemara answers, responds, and says, Hani Mili, when do we say that Shmuel is Chayish Lichida? Kilo Misakro Masnisen. That's when you don't have the undoing of something that you find in a Mishnah. Avoki Misakro Masnisen Lo Chayish. But when, by taking into consideration the opinion of a singular opinion, a Shitas Yochid, and that would result in the undoing of that which you see in the Mishnah, so that that Shmuel doesn't go so far as to say that we should be chayshish for a yochid under those circumstances. Therefore, Shmuel rejects the Braisa in favor of the Mishnah. And that that could be explained very simply on the grounds that a Mishnah is considered a more reliable source, a more authoritative source than a Braisa. And as far as suggesting that Shmuel takes into consideration singular opinions, the opinions of a Yachid, that isn't so over here. The next section of Gemara will be focusing on various situations, sources, where we see the halacha follows Rav Yossi. We'll see Rav indicating cases where we will follow Rav Yossi, and Shmuel giving us his opinions as to where cases will follow Rav Yossi. And later on Amud Beis, the Gemara will then ask, what does Shmuel do with regard to Rav's such cases, and what does Rav do with Shmuel's cases? Mirtz Hashem, that will be dealt with in our next year. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.